Hey everybody, before the episode starts, I just wanted to take the opportunity to let everybody know, with the holidays coming up, friend of the show Jason Inman, otherwise known as Jawin from the Geek History Lesson podcast, is once again doing a comic drive for service members. He's teaming up with Operation Gratitude to collect 15,000 comics to send to U.S. military members and their families serving around the world. Kind of a way to say thank you for them defending our freedom. So the drive runs through the entire month of November. There's a link in the show notes. You can go and click to read the press release and get all the details, or you can go to comicdriveforservicemembers.com to find all the information there. So take the opportunity to share your love of comics by donating some to deserving service members around the world, first responders, wounded veterans. It's a great cause. Jason does it every year. I think this is the fifth year he's doing it, and it's a really worthy cause and a great way to share your love of comics and say thank you to these service members who sacrifice so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we do. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Webtoon Wednesday episode, and today we're going to be talking about a Webtoon strip called Darby. I have the creator, Sherrard Jackson, joining me. Sherrard, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a really interesting strip, something very unique on a Webtoon. I didn't know what to expect, and that was the thing that really struck me about it. Plus, it's even when you first read the first couple of strips, it comes across as something very intense. And then as you get further along, you realize that it's not just that intense experience. You're really kind of exploring some kind of universal themes of like loyalty and family and such. So it's much more than it first appears to the eye, right?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, on the surface, it looks like an action strip and very, very gruesome, very bloody, but, at its core, it is a strong sense of family and identity. It's a little something different, and it's not, and that's the thing, it's kind of, I jokingly call it like the redheaded stepchild of Webtoon. It's kind of different.
Yeah, we're going to get into some of that. And some of the themes Sherrard explores in the strip and talk about his art and his process and such. But before we get to that, I always like to ask everybody when they come on for the first time sort of about their secret origin, how they got to where they are as a Webtoon creator. So we'll start with your childhood, Sherrard. Were comics a part of that? Did you always read comics? Were they something that always interested you?
Oh, yes. It was like as far as comics, my childhood. I was always a big animation fan. I was always big in like Saturday morning cartoons, actual cartoons, that thing, and comics. It kind of happened for me, I guess, around like third or fourth grade, I'd say. And as far as comics influence on me wanting to pursue this as a career, I think the biggest influence out of all the comics was stuff like Transformers, stuff like the G.I. Joe, just a lot of action sci-fi stories. I really gravitated to.
Now, was it the
just from there, it kind of grew.
Was it the characters? Because you mentioned Transformers and G.I. Joe, and those are such kind of established worlds that are kind of inhabited and kind of self-contained.
Yeah.
So was it the characters in those stories? Was it the fact that it was sort of self-contained worlds and world building that attracted you? Was it both?
What attracted me specifically Transformers. What attracted me to that one was the core themes. You said heroism. You understand good and evil, but in that particular story, it was being told from an alien perspective. So a robot that turns into a truck, what is freedom mean to that being? You know, like, what does protecting humanity mean? And the best thing, for me, the best thing about those particular characters is anyone can relate to them. Anyone can relate to, in a sense of how the character acts, anyone can relate to that character because it doesn't look like anyone in particular. You know, so that was always what drew me into that world. Of course, G.I. Joe, that was kind of spun off from the cartoons, so that was just continuation of that. And as far as other stories in those veins, a lot of Robotech, a lot of Ultron, of course Godzilla. So I was always drawn to the monsters and robots.
Monsters, robots, and action.
True.
Now, early on, you had thoughts of being a creator as well. Was it something you always pursued, or was there a particular moment where you realized, hey, I want to create stories on my own?
I've always wanted to create stories on my own. As far as when I was doing this as a career, I guess started self-publishing with some friends of mine, back in my college days. And I just enjoyed telling my own story. I wasn't turning down the idea of working or collaborating, but I just loved the idea of just expressing myself out in this particular framework, just on my own. And, a lot of the work I've done just kind of lends itself towards that.
Now, what other, major works would you consider from your career other than Darby? Have you published other things on Webtoon, or have you had things published in kind of the traditional print format?
Oh yeah, I've had a pretty decent career as a traditional comics artist, mostly in the independent comics scene. Recent works have been in Galaxies for Hire that was about 3 or 4 years ago. I co-created that with my buddy, Sean McSwally. The works I've done prior to that were still back about 10 years or so back. It was a book called Semantic Lace. That was my first comic on my own. Wasn't part of an anthology, wasn't a collaboration, it was just 100% mine. And that was published through Image and Devil's Due. That one is a sci-fi action love story, and that was all the action robot politics you can find it. And that was around the time I did a miniseries called Assembly, that was through Antarctic Press. That was another one that was a phase that was kind of like my giant robot phase. So that one again was really a lot of manga storytelling. It was really, really dark and gritty, and fun for the whole family.
Awesome. So it sounds like
also my first foray into webcomics was a series called Timekeeper. That was another collaboration. That was about 10 years ago. And it was at that point where I started switching over to 100% digital.
And what was the reason for that? Just speed?
It's primarily speed, and also it was just I was at a point creatively where I just wanted to do something different. And that series, it was kind of like a test to see if I could do digital, if I could just go 100% and just kind of mimic the style and where you just play with the strength of that medium.
Well, it sounds like you've definitely had quite a bit of experience in making comics.
Oh yeah, just a little, both in the traditional and digital world.
Now let's talk specifically about Darby. If any of our listeners aren't familiar with that strip, kind of let everybody know what it's about. What's your sort of elevator pitch for it?
Well, it's funny. The usual elevator pitch that I used to give was, I'd always ask someone, "Hey, do you like dinosaurs?" The answer is usually yes. I say, "You want to see dinosaurs curse and kill each other?" Or that usually piques someone's interest. So that's when I hand them my card with Darby's website on it. But the elevator pitch is a story of a bloodthirsty baby T-Rex and its family as they try to fight and survive in a savage land. And that's the surface story. Of course, the core story is just like, these characters develop over time and just like understanding who they are and trying to protect their family and just like also just interacting with all the other species in their land. So I guess my friend would say imagine if Land Before Time was directed by John Singleton.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Yeah.
Now, what was there when you got ready to create this strip and put it on Webtoon? Was it a desire to explore these ideas that we mentioned before, these themes of kind of loyalty and family? Was that something from a storyteller aspect you were looking to explore, but marry it with your love of action and blood and dinosaurs and such? Like, that was really the goal when you conceived the strip?
Oh yeah, that was my evil plan. it was always the primary goal. It's you're gonna have your action, you're gonna have your blood, but that's changed so far. The story has to mean something. It has to be honest. And the core of what I wanted to do with the series was any story I told, I wanted it to be just to be honest, be truthful. And so that's why the things you have, things of class distinction, things of love amongst different species, we have the idea of loss and representation, and little pieces of our kind of sort of semi-autobiographical. So for me, just telling the story with dinosaurs is the best framework for that.
Now, what is it about this idea of dinosaurs in a prehistoric world that you think lends itself to that that exploration of these ideas? Is it just because it's so primal, or we don't know that much about them? Honestly,
because as far as with dinosaurs and what we do know through paleontology is we have a general understanding of dinosaur behaviors and how and herd mentality, but also majority of people they love dinosaurs, and also at a base level, anyone can relate to the characterization of a dinosaur. They can relate to whatever personality trait that you attach to it. And the thing is you can do something anthro, these are for people to relate to, as opposed to just doing straight stock, straight stock superhero or just sci-fi science hero, because as soon as you try to tackle these creature beings and you show through a human face, then you automatically have barriers of race, color, and gender.
Hmm.
Whereas opposed to like a dinosaur, there's really no barrier to that.
Right. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. We were talking before about how the first few episodes really kind of just hit you in the face with this kind of violent world. And it's totally believable because, again, it's dinosaurs.
Yeah, actually, it's a shocking system.
Yeah, it totally is, and it kind of draws you in, and at the same time, you're like, wow, I can't believe how brutal this is, but you want to keep reading, and again, it's believable because it's dinosaurs, and we don't, none of us were alive back then to actually see, so who's to say that it wasn't like this? But as I mentioned before, you start reading the story, and you start seeing that these dinosaurs have emotions and feelings, and loyalty and care about each other and family and that herd mentality. So you're really kind of playing off this sort of
brutal visual aspect, but starting to tug at our heartstrings. Was that something that you knew that was going to work so well when you initially conceived it, or as you started building it out, you realized you were onto something really special?
When I initially conceived it, I had no proof or no idea that it would work at all. I knew a story that had my head to tell, and for me, it's like if one or two hundred people read it, or if they find it, if they identify with it, then for me that was a success. But very thankfully, a lot of people found it, and a lot of people really identify with it. And as far as like with all the violence and the brutality of the series, it's like they're dinosaurs, they're animals, and they're gonna act in the true sense of who and what they are. And also, it just helps get across to the reader that in this world, it's violent and bloody, and it's like nature. The next day is never guaranteed to you, so they have to act in the fullest of what they are in that moment.
Now, at what point did you realize that you really had stumbled onto something that was really special, that you were taking this violent world and these visceral images, and you were getting to kind of contrast that against kind of these emotional ideas that are relatable to all of us as emotional creatures? Was there a certain point that you realized it was really working, or was it the fan reaction and the readership? Can you recall if there was a certain time when you thought, oh, this is it, I did it?
Little of them both. For example, the second story arc, it was Darby's origin story. It's called Blooded. Mm-hmm. And it was just you see how Darby's born and how he gets hooked up with this pack of Troodon dinosaurs called Operators. And we see him form a bond with them, and they become his surrogate family. And
then you pull the rug out from under us. Sorry, yeah. I had to throw that in there because that was it was a great moment. But sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
Oh yeah, yeah. that was a fun part. Well, it wasn't fun for the reader, but it was fun for me. It was just the idea with a particular story. I got to explore essentially what death means, what death means to these beings, and just how they see legacy. What we are, it's gonna go extinct, but it's still gonna exist in the values that we instill in you, in Dark. And so like that, that's why when a character gets four stars on the side of his face, if you just read the series and you've never read that particular story, then it's just okay. Well, the stars must mean something because they're with him for the entire thing. But you see in that story that that the stars do have meaning, each and every one. So writing was that particular story, it was like, okay, I understand this is where I need to go with this character. This is how I need to present these themes. And that's what just seeing the fan response to it. Seeing the fan response and then you start thinking about individual fan theories pop up. And I start realizing, people are really into it. They understand what's being told, and a lot of the theories that they come up with are really cool. It shows that the audience is engaged.
Yeah.
So for me that was proof that I was doing something. I was doing something that was on the right track. That was good.
Yeah. Now, that was kind of, I guess, justification that your idea was a good one, the way you were marrying these two ideas. Has there been anything thematically as you've gone on and you've established more relationships for Darby, and we've seen some romantic relationships and such play out? Has there been anything thematically as you've been exploring this that kind of surprised you, that if you would go back and tell yourself when you're first starting out, hey, we're going to explore this idea in this way, that you would have been really surprised at?
Actually, there's been a couple. For example, the Straight Outta Concrete story arc. And that one, I remember when I was writing that one, initially I did it as a reintroduction to those characters, like the Darby and his family. That's why the first episode begins them just coming out of the gate, just in an action scene. But as I was writing it, I noticed that the theme was kind of political, because when you get underneath it, it's kind of touches on the idea of gentrification, in a sense. And I was like, I was writing it, and I was thinking, should I be going in this particular direction with it? Should I touch on the politics and stuff like that? But I told myself a long time ago that if I'm going to do these stories, then if I'm going to be honest about it, then I always have to go in the direction that scares me. And that was kind of a scary approach to it for me initially, because anytime you start talking politics in the story, you stand a chance of losing half your audience. But luckily, everyone stayed. Everyone stayed with it. That, and of course, you have to do the dinosaur origin story, which was really fun.
Also, the
season two with the ladies series, the ladies night, dawn, and day. Of course, like kind of plays on the dead series, on the Romero dead series, like night, dawn, night of the dead, dawn of the dead, day of the dead. But in that particular series, I guess kind of like force the bond between like Maul and Darby. And even to the extent of where that is in the series, there's callback to the first episode, to where you see what Darby is at this particular point in the series, as opposed to where he began. Because when he began the series, he was a baby, he lashed out at everything, and you start seeing what the consequences are of lashing out.
Now, Darby's really gone through quite a journey as the strip has gone on. But there's been other characters, too, that we've seen kind of grow and mature and change. Has there been any characters that have taken on a life of their own and turned out differently than you originally conceived them?
Smalltown. Absolutely. Yeah, she's definitely the standout. Because that particular character... She initially was supposed to make one appearance in the Cretaceous Boogaloo story arc. When I originally wrote her, I kind of made her a parody character of the Land Before Time characters. And at the end of that particular episode, she was supposed to drown. but that was one of the instances where we respond to save that character. Mm. So I saw some people react to the character initially, so I was like, okay, let's see what we can do with her. So I brought her back for the Straight Outta Hell Creek story arc, and just began to develop her and her relationship with Darby, and so now she's one of the more beloved characters of the series. And she's also in a sense of how each character interacts with each other. She's also like one of the smarter characters of the series. So that, and also, when I was developing Darby's mother, Nell, and her friend, boyfriend, Tuck, that one kind of developed over the course of season two, in their relationship and the secrets that she's hiding. A lot of groundwork I laid for that kind of has ripple effects in season three. And also, of course, Dala. She's the third member of the crew. She's Darby's sister. She's the she's the psychopath of the group. Yeah. But this season, they get to like really develop her.
Well, the story is an interesting one, and it's certainly worth reading. Completely relatable, as I said, and the thing that makes it so unique is just that juxtaposition of the violence, the action, the grittiness of the story versus some of these really relatable and emotional themes that you're exploring. So if you could, can you take us through your process for creating a strip? Like, do you have an overall outline for the entirety of the strip, and then you take a chunk of it and break it down into a script for the episode and then illustrate it? Or how do you go about creating your weekly strip?
Oh, the weekly strip? Well, I have a rough outline for the overall series. And for each episode, I do like rough thumbnails for it, rough thumbnails and writing, and some basic line art for like the first day. And then for the next 2 days, I do nothing, just nothing but line art. Just like, I have canvas pages that are usually like 800 pixels by 30,000 pixels, and usually do 3 pages worth of those, so that way I have a 3-act structure in the middle and end for it. And I from that line, I just begin to write the story itself. And as far as the dialogue goes, I can always change that later, so that happens a lot in the lettering. So just for the first 3 or 4 days, that's just story development. Story development and line art. And the last 2 days are colors and rendering and just composition. You know, and sometimes it bleeds over into a day seven. But I usually try to keep each strip down to like 6 days. 6 days and within the 40-hour work week. So that way, you know, of course, so you don't get burnt out, but also just so you have have a steady schedule.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned earlier when we were talking about your career and the path you've gone on and moving over to digital and wanting to try something different. One thing that Webtoon brings to the table that's completely unique from any other kind of digital publishing platform is the vertical scroll. And you seem to have really embraced it with your work.
Oh, absolutely.
I especially love... So. Just to give a little context, I was sitting in my studio with the lights off, reading in the dark in my recliner, and I'm reading it on my tablet, and I'm scrolling through one of the early episodes, and it starts off, it has the title, and the background is white, and as you scroll, the color gradually goes from that light white color to completely black.
Yes.
And being that I was reading in the dark, it's a big tablet at the 12-inch, and it's giving off a lot of light, and as I'm scrolling, the light's like dimming, and it's like really set the mood for the episode. So I went back and I did that scroll like 3 or 4 times, like, that is so cool. So it seems like you've really embraced the use of both the vertical scroll in terms of your artwork and the way you lay out your panels, but also in terms of the color. So can you talk a little bit about your love and use of color in this strip?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because colors sets the tone of the story. When every story are like fun and adventurous, and I usually have a lot of warms, a lot of hot colors to it. And it's really bright. Of course, when things get really moody and really scary, for example, the Crossing Path storyline, that was like a horror story. So a lot of the colors were just really cold, really muted. You know, and like you said, at those moments where it goes from just white to black in the transition, and it's just fun to do the colors on it and just kind of come close to kind of giving me like a cinematic experience to it, just nice depth of field, to the environment and to the characters inside the action. So yeah, it's that and it's just what I was, the a lot of the mood that I'm trying to trying to get with it. So I'm trying to get the reader to feel like they're reading an animated series. Mm. Just in the way it feels.
Now,
and also, with the vertical format, what I love best about that format is you can just play with space. And also, it affects affects storytelling, it affects your timing also. Because as you're scrolling up and down, you can introduce elements that, at the bottom of the scene that are mentioned in the top of it, rather than just like waiting for the next page or like moving from left to right.
Yeah. Now, in terms of your color work, and using it with this vertical scroll, did you kind of embrace the same sort of, I guess, philosophy with color, even when you were doing a more traditional layout, or do you feel like the vertical scroll has kind of challenged you to kind of go beyond what you'd done before with color? Because I have to imagine that you've always been really good with color. I mean, your color work on this strip is too good to have that not be the case.
Thank you. For me, it was always trial and error.
Okay.
It's just like with the colors in series in particular, I wanted to do something that was dense, but also I didn't want to do something that would make the best use of the time. Dense but not crazily complicated.
Right.
If that makes sense. With this format, the best thing about it is it feels like you're playing with a spectrum.
Right.
In a long strip of storytelling, I can whenever I just zoom out of it and I just see the strip as a whole, I can see the change in the mood, from straight up and down, from like how it goes from like a warmer. From like warm tones to just cooler tones, or like you get flashbacks, how the black background kicks in, and that all go from like black and white, and just contrast, and for me it just works better. Whereas in the past, you'd be determined on how it works for the page, where you could do something similar to where it'd be well. Well, this panel is a transition panel, so it's color, so it's color moves over into this tone here for the next couple pages. Well, this it's like one long strip.
Yeah, the never-ending scroll, so to speak.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, now, how did the strip come to be on Webtoon? How did you discover the platform, and how did you get the strip on the platform to begin with?
Well, I heard people talking about Webtoon at exclamations. They mentioned it, say like, it's a webcomic format, webcomic source. And at the time, I was looking at putting up a webcomic online, just build my site or start doing on sites like FX, SmackGs. Then I started checking out Webtoon and I saw the format that they were using. And initially I didn't understand how the format worked, so I was just putting the pages in full. And then I started reading more about how the format worked, and after it was featured, editor mentioned this is how to do things, this is why. So I kind of started breaking up, the pages to kind of fit that format. And so just over time, it started making sense to me about how it works and how it affects storytelling, and just how I can play with that space and just do something completely different from what I've been doing.
Now, being that you have had,
and
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, as far as I go with the Webtoon, just hearing around from everyone who'd seen it, and it's pretty favorable, and as far as like how they respond to it. So I was like, well, I'm gonna put my comic up here. So if it gets an audience, awesome. If not, then let's say I was able to get the story out there.
Right. Now, being that you have so much experience in the industry, been around, done a lot of different things, can you talk a little bit about how the strip Darby is unique, even in terms of Webtoon, because it is, you know, that visceral, the violent, but you're exploring these emotional beats and ideas. But it seems like the fans are really getting, the readership is really getting what you're trying to do. They really seem to understand what you're going for. So that's got to be, you know, like you were saying earlier, they get it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess what makes it different from other webtoons outside of the artistic style itself is it's a growing series. The characters themselves are growing, the themes are changing, and each season, where the character is at the beginning of the season is completely different from where he will be at the end of the season. And you can see these characters grow, you can see them change, you can see them adapt to environments. And the readers that have been with the series since day one, you know, they get to see that too. They get to see that their favorite characters like age along with them. You know, and so I think that's my experience. That the series is just constantly growing. It's not, you know, there's no fixed thing to it. No fixed setting, and there's no, you know, there's no episodic resolution to it. It's each episode it connects with the next episode with the next, and there's even callbacks to the events that happened, you know, previously in episodes along, you know, way before. So I'm guessing that's the overall difference.
Now, have you seen that you have a real dedicated readership that's invested in these characters that have been with you since the beginning? Like, do you see that in the comments, that you've really created your own little Darby community, so to speak?
Oh yes, it's really cool. Yeah, I can tell you username as far as who's been there since day one, but like a lot of comments I read are, you know, I'll see a lot of times people say like, I've been here since this season, or like, I just hopped on and I binged the entire series, and like, now I'm caught up, and that's what's really fun. Just seeing people that are just like been with them for so long, and they're just really invested, and like, you know, what happens with these characters, like a because of the investment they place to it, and they feel it, and yeah, it's really cool to see.
Yeah, it's great when somebody's been there since the beginning and that they're invested. And I mean, I binged a bunch of it too. I'm not quite caught up, but I almost am. And it's like, I've slowed down now, and I almost don't want to get caught up, because then I'm in the same boat with waiting for each episode to come. You know, I don't have a giant story.
So where are you at in story right now?
I think I'm two story, or I just started the second to last story, because I think the last episode that came out was the first of a new story arc, is that right?
Are you talking about like recently? Are you in season three or?
Yeah, season three.
Oh, you're not in season three.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm not. I glanced through that one just to see what the latest episode was, but I'm on the previous. I've just finished the first episode of the previous story arc, so I'm a few, like four episodes, I think, or five episodes behind, so almost caught up. But yeah, now I had such a giant chunk of story to read, and now I'm almost caught up. But I mean, it's a good thing. It's a good problem to have. And I'm sure it's, you know, when you have that dedicated fan community and reader community, that is the one thing, because the deadline's always looming, but it's a voracious, that readership's a voracious beast, because they'll work you to death if you let them, you know?
I've gotten comments that ask me like, well, why can't you do this twice a week?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's like my hand fall off.
Yeah, do you see the artwork? You're lucky I'm getting one a week.
Yeah, exactly.
I couldn't imagine. I've had creators on in the past that they started out with 2 a week, and I'm like, how are you even still alive? That's just, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to pace yourself for sure.
Yeah, it's like, what? I'm like, do you have a clone?
Well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, Shard. It's been great talking to you, but we'll finish up with this. Have you had a chance to meet or talk to any other Webtoon creators and experience the Webtoon creative community at all, either online or at a convention?
Oh yeah. I've met the several other Webtoon creators. All awesome people doing amazing artwork. Creative Let's Play, Creative Roommate, Creative Electric Romance, and several others, Metamagic on the convention circuit.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, it's really cool to be just part of this amazing creative community.
Yeah, it's hard to say which community is better. I would call it a tie. The reader community, the fan community on Webtoon is great. The creative community is great as well. It's hard to pick one over the other.
Oh yeah, there's something. That's the Kobe action rule.
Yeah,
the decision maker there.
Exactly. You can. It's like Sophie's choice. You couldn't choose between the two. They're both great. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, Shard, I know the deadline is ever looming, so I will give you the chance here if you want to add anything to new readers or readers that have been following Darby and reading along. The floor is yours.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Well, to new old readers, thank you. Thank you for finding the webcomic. Thank you for reading the series. And, from all my heart, thank you for supporting, because just knowing that everyone's reading it and loving it, it makes it worth it. And also just keep reading, because it's going to get crazier. It's going to get way, way crazier.
I can hardly wait. Thanks again for joining. If anybody wants to follow along online with your work, ask questions about the strip or about breaking into comics, or just follow along when you have other projects coming up that you're announcing on your social media, where's the best place online to follow along with you?
The best place to find me is going to be on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. My handle is Shardyouare. Shardyouare. Find me through Instagram and Twitter, and through that handle. Also, you can find me at Darby Adventures, Darby Adventures on Facebook and Twitter. And yeah, I usually post new artwork, and I do usually weekly AMAs on Instagram, especially. So yeah, just. Check me out. Find me. I'm available.
Awesome. And I'll put links to Darby's social media in the show notes, everybody. So you can go click there and follow along. So thanks again, man.
And also I almost forgot. The welcome stuff, find it at darbycomics.com.
Darby, great.
Just write to it.
Great. I'll put a link to the website in the show notes as well. So again, Shard, thanks awesome. Thanks for joining me. It's great talking about Darby. Really appreciate it. Best of luck with the strip.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.